Let's get to Crease Lightning, as we do every Tuesday, from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Kevin Woodley joins us. Woods, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Jason. Could use one of those car details out here. Rare snow on the West Coast, and now the slush and mush that follows. I know you guys are a little more used to it than us. We're soft out here on the left coast.
Speaking of soft, let's start there. Jake Allen and the Blues goaltending overall, like Carter Hutton, who's been a better backup than this, 889, 854 his last four games, and Jake Allen only 905. And it's not like the Blues are just giving up a ton of shots and a ton of great scoring chances. What's with the struggles of Jake Allen? What have you not liked about his game?
Well, it's funny because it wasn't that long ago we were talking about what's going right with Jake Allen, and you know, I think it was, what, 8 straight wins at one point, and through most of those, some really, really solid performances. Save percentage steadily in the 9-40, up to 960 range on a game-by-game basis. Towards the end of that win streak, he bled some goals, and there were some things that went through some of the video, and it's funny, as much as overall they're not giving up chances, it's interesting, some of those games, even when he was winning them at the end of that win streak, one game in particular against Tampa where they're getting up early in these games and they are getting a little loose. They're building 3-0 leads, 4-1 leads. And going through the chances, yeah, there are some signs in Jake's game that he's not tracking well. But it kind of all started there, and there's backdoor tap-ins. There's guys with open looks and defensemen backing off from the hash marks. Tyler Johnson going shelf on him in one of those situations off the rush. Low-high plays to, you know, one-touch shots from just above the crease on passes out from below the goal line. Goalie's nightmare. Saw a lot of that from Columbus, actually, last night against the Canucks, and an interesting strategy. Almost looks like they're a team that's trying to generate offense that way. So when I watch Jake's last five games, I mean, there's a Patrick Kane breakaway, there's a couple other breakaways in there. It's not all him, but it seems like this is kind of, after a great run, a little bit of loose play, and then it's kind of snowballed. He started to chase. These last couple of games, as much as there are good scoring chances in there, there are times when he's not in position on a pass to the back door, because he's outside of his posts on the short side challenging the shooter. And those are the kind of things that can creep into, you know, any goalie's game, but especially a young goalie as he's going through his first season as the unquestioned number one and all that entails. You start to leak a few. You start to give up. There was a few bad ones in the Nashville game from long range that went through him. And it can go two ways. Some goalies will retreat, and there have been goals where I've seen him back off and get deep in his crease, and some goalies then try and make themselves big by playing over aggressively, and then they can't get across on backdoor passes. And I've seen that in his game. I've seen uncharacteristic sloppiness on his posts, little technical details that he's normally on top of, and you start to wonder if maybe the workload, and this is one of the challenges of being a number one. I've talked to a lot of goalies over the years about it, from, you know, Corey Schneider, especially watching him go through that process in person and then go to New Jersey, we talked about it. You lose that time to work with your goalie coach. You're so focused on managing your fatigue and managing your rest that you don't often have enough time to manage your game like you did as a backup or like you did in a 1A, 1B situation like he was for years there in St. Louis. And, you know, so some of that sloppiness off the posts can develop from there. It's not characteristic of his game. Technically, he's typically pretty sound. Some of that chase, the uncertainty that comes with struggles, you start to get a little over-aggressive at the wrong times, passive at the wrong times. Just everything feels like it's off. Your reads are off. Your timing is off. You're aggressive when you need to back up. You back up when you need to be aggressive. Everything just kind of feels like it's snowballing on you. And so that's why I found it interesting that he's right back in tomorrow night, but they're giving him tonight off and reading Hitchcock's quotes, wanting to give him a little time to work with Jim Corsi, to tighten up things technically. I would suggest to tighten things up in terms of positioning. There's just no need, as good as he is usually moving into and out of his posts, for him to get caught playing left or right of them. When I say getting caught outside your post, I mean outside of the crease to the left or the right of your post. I've seen a lot of that in his game, when then it's not getting across and getting set when the play moves laterally. And like I said, maybe not overall, but on the goals and on the plays I'm watching, they have become somewhat permissive defensively for passes through kind of creating lanes through the middle of the ice and allowing teams to kind of move it around in their offensive zone in kind of not what we think of as characteristic Blues hockey. And it just looks like that's all snowballed on them right now. And sometimes it just takes one save, Jason, to just kind of feel like everything's good again. Sometimes it's that work with the goalie coach. Sometimes it takes a couple games. It'll be interesting to see, because Allen was playing well before this started. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how he snaps out of it and how quickly, because I've got pretty good confidence that he will.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, goal scoring continues to drop, and I don't see that it's going to change anytime soon. And with less goals is less excitement. It's just a fact. People don't get that riveted about big saves other than the goalie union, and that's fine. But the NHL has made many changes over the years, some of them significant and drastic. And you know, you could look at an easy one, just altering, beveling the post to see where pucks maybe that hit the goal post have a better chance to go in rather than out, and maybe that's one. But at what point do you think it's fair to take a long look at changing the dimensions of the crease when you look at just how much bigger the average goalie is now than they ever were before?
You mean the dimensions of the net?
Yes.
Right. Listen, I think we're going to eventually get there. The goalie union card requires me to say it's ridiculous, but it's probably going to happen. We look at other sports that have evolved over time, and they seem incapable of policing themselves as a sport, as a game, when it comes, like they can't get rid of the shot blocking. Nobody's talking about making the shin pads narrower. Nobody's talking about, you know, I mean, it's funny. We talk a lot about goalie pads and you know, chest protectors, and there's an effort to slim those down. Have you seen some of the forwards and defensemen in and out of their shin pads and their pants and their upper body unit? So there has been, because you want them to be safe. You don't want to take shot blockers off to discourage shot blocking, because you're going to get guys hurt. So I don't think we're seeing anything, no talk of illegal defenses or anything that's going to open the game up. Because I think ultimately, I would disagree. I think if you have good quality scoring chances that create great saves, I think good saves are exciting. But frankly, we're not creating enough of those either. So eventually we're going to get there. But wouldn't you like to take steps first? And this one has always kind of puzzled me, the beveled posts. I had a great conversation with Francois Allaire, Colorado Avalanche goalie coach now, of course, the famous Montreal Canadiens goalie coach for Patrick Waugh, and sort of the guy who kind of revolutionized the butterfly style out of Quebec. And he built a net with beveled posts, and he introduced it to the league. And this was 04-05 lockout we're talking.
Okay, and what did they say?
They had a look. They tried it. They quickly passed on it, and I don't really fully understand why, and neither does he. I mean, he kind of said at the time when we had this chat, he's like, I'm a goalie coach. It's not my job to fix scoring. It's my job to stop it, and he's one of the guys who's done a great job of it, and he's, you know, a big part of the evolution of equipment of in terms of goaltending and filling space and you know, not necessarily blocking, but certainly filling space with equipment modifications. But you know, he did the math. He's like, how many times a game does the post get hit?
Yeah.
And you know, the net he designed, the post he designed, you know, 2/3 of those go in, or 2/3 more go in as opposed to staying out. So you know, if the post gets hit, we had a crossbar here in Vancouver, in overtime the other night.
Yeah.
Puck goes the other way, and I mean it's 3-on-3. It goes the other way, and it scores anyways. But you know, there's an example of a shot that may go in instead of coming out. There was a couple other posts in that game. You hit 3 posts a game, and 2/3 of those are going in. We're adding 2 goals a game.
Yeah.
That it may be an exaggeration, but we're not changing any of the benchmarks on the ice in terms of the positioning that the goalies have grown up with and have spent, you know, literally tens of thousands of hours and hundreds of thousands of shots over their career, making it automatic that they know where the post is. You're not changing that.
Yep.
And so that would be the first step. Now, if we need to go to a second step to make the nets bigger, I remember talking to Mitch Korn, Washington Capitals goalie coach, about this. I'm not sure if he was taking credit for the idea or not. I honestly can't remember, but I want to give credit to where I heard it from. And it made sense. You know, Luongo talked about quitting if the goals got bigger. The one thing you can do is make them taller. If you make them taller, you're not changing the reference points in terms of positioning left and right and around that crease, all those things that are innate. Because I think if you make them wider, you're just going to lose one, maybe even two generations of goaltenders who have spent their whole life making that innate, and you're just going to create bad goals where they think they've got coverage and it goes in, and it's just like, I'm not sure we want bad goals. If you make them taller and don't change those reference points, but what you do is you're creating more doubt about, hey, how early can I go down? You're creating the need for more patience on the skates as a goaltender. The inability, you know, it becomes tougher to become a blocker. Goals from long range. I mean, the reality is we talk about shot location and measuring scoring chances based on shot location a lot. The reality is for a goaltender, as long as it's coming in at you at a straight line, as long as there's no lateral movement you have to worry about, it actually gets easier the closer they get to you because you're closing off more of the net, as you know, especially vertically. Now all of a sudden you open up that net vertically, and guys are going to have to try and be more patient on their skates, which means they're going to be more exposable down low. That, you know, it's so hard to beat a goaltender along the ice these days. It will become easier if they're not going down as readily because they're worried about protecting the top of the net. So, you know, those would be the stages I'd go through as we get to that point. Is let's try the beveled nets as long as there's not a safety issue in terms of guys running into a, you know, a narrower point because it's beveled versus rounded, and then let's raise the height of the crossbar. And then if that still doesn't work, then you talk about maybe making them bigger overall. Yeah. But I'd want to go through the first stages before we got to the third. And I still think there's more you can do in terms of trying to mandate, you know, a little more of an open style game. Although I expect with expansion, I don't think it's fair to say you're, I mean, the talent levels, especially with young players more and more getting into the league and the elite skills and speed that some of them have, it's increased. But, you know, at the end of the day, the word watered down will get thrown around, and coaches coach what they can coach, and that's defense and shutting things down. And we don't see as much effort go into creating offense from a coaching standpoint. And I think that until you change that, I don't think we're going to see many changes in goal scoring, and you're going to have to look at some of the ideas you talked about.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to me that the NHL had somebody show them the bevel post, explain the whole strategy, crunching all the numbers. And you're right, it's not a safety issue changing that one, right? There's no one out there, forwards, defense, or goalies, or anybody that can complain about that. Now,
I did wonder, that's the one thing, I did wonder if the edge point becomes narrower, do collisions with the net become more dangerous? That would be the only question mark that I could think of.
But with all their equipment on it, I'd be quite surprised. Like, I don't think it's going to be...
And Stamkos still broke his leg on the rounded
pump. Yeah, exactly. So... now, the other one was, you mentioned the bevel post first, then raising the crossbar first rather than the width. Why are you more inclined to – is that just because the height of the goalies? That's why it'd be more to the height? Because a lot of goalies now, when they go down on their knees, their shoulders are still above the net.
Well, no, I mean, I think that, again, like I said, you create doubt. If you create doubt about whether I've got the top of the net protected – you are going to create more of a hesitation to go down, and you're going to open up the bottom of the net more. And the reason I don't want to make them wider right away is, again, I think you lose, like Luongo quits, no question. I've had that conversation. I'm pretty sure he's committed to that at this point. But that's just an example. Like, I think you lose his whole generation and like everyone in the league right now. Those reference points have been ingrained in them. I don't know how long it would take to adjust, but I'm guessing it could be more than a season. It is not a, you know, you don't flip a switch and the post is 2 inches wider. Every angle, every movement, everything you do on the ice as a goaltender is in reference to where your net is behind you and where those posts are. And, again, it becomes innate. And for everyone... I would guess from the age of – when you made that change, everyone from 15 to 35 in the NHL, that's going to be a really tough change. I just think you're going to create bad goals, and you're changing a bigger reference point. I think you'd accomplish – I would at least want to see what you accomplish by making it higher before you make it wider, because I think making it wider is a drastic change that, like I said, is for a long time is just going to create bad goals, just guys who think they've got it covered – think it's going wide and it goes in, and just that adjustment period is going to be massive for the goaltenders.
So now when you say bad goals, you're coming from a goalie perspective, right?
Well, you started the segment talking about, you know, Gretzky and as brilliant as he was compared to everyone else, when you go back and watch that era, I mean, I guess scoring was exciting, but I watch that now and it's just like, really? Is it exciting to see a shot go in from 60 feet because the guy's just basically moving out of the way? Like, it's just, we're not going to get back to
that.
Yeah,
but honestly, you're not, that's my point. You're not going to get back to that, even if you change the width of the goal. It's not so, like, you're telling me the goalie, because if you're saying that, Kevin, then I'm questioning how good these goalies are. Because if you're saying by moving the net out an inch each side that suddenly they're going to be letting goals in from 60 feet, then I don't think they're that good.
I just think that you're going to have guys who, it's going to take a long time where they're going to innately be in a spot and know that thing's going wide. And just the instinct will be, okay, I'm going on the other side of my crease because that thing's going wide and it's going to hit the backboards and come out the other side. All of a sudden that goal goes in and that guy's actually moving to the other side because that's how innate that skill is at that point of their career. And to change that thought process to, oh, crap, the net's too much, 2 inches bigger, I better chase that to that side. I mean, maybe it won't happen, but talking to the goalies, that's going to be an adjustment that, like I said, some guys will quit, some guys will make the adjustment, but I think it's just going to lead to bad goals. It's just going to lead to goals that where guys are literally think it's not going in and it goes in.
Yeah, well, and that'd be like me right now saying a lot of times I see what are called bad saves, where the goalie doesn't make the save, he's just positionally strong and the puck hits him because there's no room to shoot. Right, so there's always that argument too. Like I see goalies where the guy makes it, and the goalie comes across, and it's not necessarily that he's making a great save. He's being in that position, and the puck's hitting him, right? Because the goalies are like you talk about watching those goals allowed in the '80s, Kevin. They were also standing up, right? Nowadays, you get in the butterfly, and you've automatically taken away the lower part of the net, not with any really great skill, just by doing a certain motion.
Right, absolutely, and well, but I would argue that skill is. The athleticism required for the movements that put them in position is what makes it one of the toughest positions. Like players can't do that.
But if they started at the age of eight, you could get in that position to do it.
That's why the goalies are now the best condition guys, not the worst condition, because the athleticism required to move into that position and the training that goes into it. And again, like you said, it doesn't look, it's not sexy. But position stops pucks, and I guess changing the reference points of the positioning is going to create guys out of position, not because they're not capable of moving, just because they've spent the 10,000 or 30,000 hours knowing where that position is, and they're not going to be able to flip a switch.
Not overnight, sure, but over time they should be able to, I would hope.
Right, and like I said, I figured probably a half season of just watching bad goals, and then they'll figure it out, but... what's going to happen on the coaching side? Do you think coaches are going to be like, hey, there's more goals to be scored here, let's open up? Or do you think they're going to find even more ways to make sure they clog up even more net in front of it?
If the NHL had any common sense, they would, they'd put something in place. Because that's a big factor. There's no doubt about it. That's a significant factor. But I still
believe...
But again,
like I said, hey, listen, I already said, as much as the union says I got to be against it, I think we're heading there.
Yeah.
But do it in the stages I talked about. You've had the post idea sitting there for 10 years. Let's work that one.
Yeah, that would be
years
good
later.
One.
Come on.
That would be good. Kev, we got to make
the nets a little higher first, and then if we get to it, we'll get wider.
Kev, we got to run. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Perfect. Thanks, Jason.
Kevin.